Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hello, fundraisers. I'm Lauren Chippen, professional writer who has successfully crowdfunded and not scammed people before.
And I'm Cher McAnally, head of entertainment at Tumblr, who just boiled water no less than 5 times before remembering to pour my tea. So I don't think I'd be very good at scamming.
And this is Dashboard Diaries, a podcast for you, the folks who are in this internet bunker with us. We talk about what's going on in our favorite hell site, get into what we like to call Tumble lore, do fandom deep dives, and share the times when we've gone feral over a new ship. And if you are joining us from the future, we are still in the midst of the SAG strike, which means that we're trying to avoid talking about struck works as much as possible. So we've been skipping our week on Tumblr segment. So we're going to jump right into our Dashboard Confessionals. Cher, what do you have from your own personal archives this week?
So I have a few things. I'm going to randomly select one of the great selection, one of the things I had open, and just drop it on in here for you.
Excited slash nervous.
It's, it's a fun little text post that I reblogged on November 7th, 2015. And it's from user Rose Last Rider, who said, you are the dancing queen, blood curdling scream, 47 bees.
That's so good. That captures, I think, Tumblr energy so perfectly somehow.
Could not agree more. I think it's even more so that if you look below, it says via i-suck-dick deactivated 201-606-14.
That's so perfect.
Just, yeah, perfect.
The
post.
Deactivated really is what makes it art, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. No notes, but actually over 415,000 notes.
I would expect no less. That is perfect.
And what do you have in your Dashboard Confessionals for us this week, Lauren?
So despite what I just said, I couldn't resist, and I do have something that broadly is about struck work, but I think I can talk around it and still communicate what it is. So it is something that I reblogged November 13th, 2014, so 9 years ago, and it is a GIF of a bunch of very quick cuts of the title card of Tumblr's main show. This show recently celebrated its November 5th big anniversary, which is always a big holiday on Tumblr. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know that I can help you. But the thing that I really love about this is that on my now sort of private blog, but at the time public, I reblogged it and was sort of marveling at a couple of the title cards being like, oh, I didn't realize that the show did like this theme of episode and this theme of episode, because back in 2014, I was not watching this show. And I think that like there's a lot of very funny things in here for me. First of all, the fact that 9 years ago, this show had so many title cards already to make like a minute-long looping GIF, that I had no knowledge of this show whatsoever, but I was still reblogging posts about it because I was on Tumblr. And the fact that now I know everything about the show and work regularly with one of its stars. It's just like, it's just very, like, everything just sort of comes around, you know?
Full circle.
You can't escape. You can't escape the family business. You really can't.
You know, maybe we're in an episode right now, Lauren.
We might.
You never
be.
Know. We could be.
Yeah.
It's possible.
The real truth of the universe is not that this is some sort of computer simulation, but that we're in an episode written by Eric Kripke.
In a computer simulation.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whenever I see like long GIFs, because I don't know if you remember that I don't know, meme format or whatever it was from a while ago where it would like flash through a bunch of things and it would be like drag, like when you drag the GIF, whatever you get, like the image you get is like, you know, who you are, like your vibe or like whatever the answer is. Anyway,
totally.
I saw this and I'm like, I want it to pick an episode for me based on.
Yes. Ooh, do it. Wait, what is it? What is it going to give you?
Let's see. All right, I'm going to do it right now. What have we got? I think, okay. I got, how do I even describe this to you? Can I drop an image to you? It's like the blue one with the orb that like kind of explodes out. It
yes.
looks very like, yeah.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I got. I was hoping for like the black and white one or one of the jazzier ones. Hey, but this feels like it's been in multiple episodes.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if these were, some of these feel like, yeah, they're definitely very episode specific. Some of them feel like they're potentially the title cards for like the season, because every season the title card would change.
Yeah.
I got the one with the black angel's wings, which feels appropriate because that is the, the
person,
the star of the show who I know and work with.
I don't think anyone has guessed the show yet. I don't think anyone.
Definitely
would,
not.
Would,
no,
it's
very
niche.
Opaque.
Yeah.
Super niche.
Super niche. Naturally.
We'll obviously reblog this post to dashboarddiaries.tumblr.com so you can figure out what your title card vibe is.
Yes.
And also find out what the show that we're talking about is if you don't know. Though, I was reblogging posts about this in 2014 when I wasn't watching this show. Like, it is Tumblr's TV show.
Yeah, I was definitely reblogging posts about it well before I started watching it when we started recording this show.
This podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I mean, Misha was the first person that I worked with at Tumblr. Like, I did first campaign I worked
that's
on was with
so,
him.
That's wild. Oh, my gosh. Everything
it was so
really just, it's full, like six degrees of Kevin Bacon, but six degrees of this television show, you know?
It is so true. The amount of... Yes, exactly that. I couldn't put it any better myself. I remember it was so long ago. This was 2016 when we did this. I was 23 at the time, and
oh my
we were
gosh.
Doing a kind of scavenger hunt Gishwiz thing at a convention. And part of it was like he took over the Tumblr like Snapchat at the time, and he like and
nice.
So at one point I'm like in the background of one of the snaps, and he goes, "Do you see that woman over there?" And I remember being like, "I'm a woman," because I was like 23, and I was like, I don't think anyone's called me a woman. Like, I was like, I am a girl.
I'm a girl.
Not yet a woman. Excuse me.
Gosh, that really is what it feels like a lot of the time when you're 23. Blink-182 was right. Being 23 is hard.
It really is. I was like, I honestly still that is such a core memory of him being like, this woman over there. And I honestly, my first thought was like, what did you call me? Like, what?
Assigned woman by Misha Collins.
Sorry, you don't understand. I'm baby.
I am baby.
I'm an entity, actually. I'm an overall vibe. I am ageless and timeless, but definitely was
but
not
definitely not
ready
a
to
woman.
Be a woman.
Not an adult woman. That's
yeah, wait till
so
my, like, you know, brain, you know, the prefrontal cortex does that thing it does. You know,
yeah, yeah,
then,
and fully,
then perhaps.
Yeah, fully develops. Yeah. That's so funny. Oh my goodness. We're going to stay in sort of the classic 2014 Tumblr vibes today by talking about one of Tumblr's favorite old pastimes, which is failed crowdfunds. Cher, when you think of Tumblr failed crowdfunds, what do you think of? Like, what's sort of the first thing that comes to mind? Slash, is what is sort of your first encounter with this as a concept?
Honestly, I'm thinking of so many like Tumblr sagas, but I don't think any crowdfund specific ones are really coming to mind.
Okay, so some of this might be kind of new to you, maybe?
Yeah, I think so, which is odd because I'm pretty sure we've talked about crowdfunds even in the last few episodes that we've done. But I also am, I will say, running out of brain cells at the moment because I landed super late last night. So honestly,
oh, no.
If you asked me to list the conspiracies that we talked about, I'm sitting here like, what did we talk about, Lauren?
Honestly, I am having that a little bit too, especially since it was daylight savings like this past weekend. And that always throws my brain into a blender.
Yeah, I think my brain like did a factory reset or something because
still booting
up. You're like failed crowdfunds, and I'm like, yes, I know what a crowdfund is, and I also know the definition of the word fail. So we're getting there.
So we're halfway there.
I'm rebooting.
So, yeah. So there was this period of time, I would say, on Tumblr, and this would have been before you started working at Tumblr. Although you may have been an intern at this time, but this was between like what I think of sort of like the height of Tumblr's most Tumblr era, right? Which is like 2012 through 2014, like that kind of the super Hulock period, as we've called it in the past.
And that's exactly when I joined the platform. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going to count Super Hulock as a struck work because it is an amalgamation of a bunch of things. it's its own entity.
Yes.
That is not SAG. So throughout this period, there were several crowdfunds for various Tumblr crowdsourced projects that were ultimately failures in a variety of ways. And that sort of, you know, fit into the larger discourse around this time period and DashCon and things like this, and kind of Tumblr coming together as like a user base and trying to make things happen, and those things kind of ultimately falling flat on their face in various ways. So the central one that I want to talk about is All or Nothing. Are you familiar with All or Nothing as a concept, as a text post, as a crowdfund?
I am not.
Fascinating.
No.
So this is the one that I actually remember seeing most, like at the time. So it began with this post from Discontent Ramblings. That's just like a very normal, classic Tumblr style text post, which is an asexual and pansexual become roommates and have wacky adventures. The show is called All or Nothing. Which, like, I feel like I see a text post like that, like, all the time on Tumblr. You know, it's just a fun, it's a fun, funny concept. And then a Night Vale blog called Everything is Night Vale reblogged it and said, plot twist, the asexual is really super outgoing and is a huge flirt, while the pansexual is extremely socially awkward and has trouble ordering coffee, let alone getting a date. And then a user named Schrodinger's Nerd, which is, I think, one of my favorite usernames I've seen, made some fan art of sort of this concept, which, again, is like in general, everything about this is like very typical for like the Yes And website, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like funny premise. Here's a way to subvert it by making these two characters sort of the opposite of what the stereotypes are. And then here's a bit of fan art. Like, I think that this is the kind of behavior that we saw around Goncharov, right? Like the sort of crowdsourced idea that people add to, people make fan art for, people add to the lore of, et cetera, et cetera. And this post in particular got like over 500,000 notes back in 2014, was, you know, going around and was very, very popular. And the trouble came when some Tumblr users decided to make an Indiegogo for it. And they were going to make a web series called All or Nothing that was taking this premise. And they were trying to raise $600, which, I've been in web series. $600 is not enough to like buy a camera for a web series. I actually was in a web series during this time period, and it, you know, it cost a lot of money. And they also didn't necessarily have like a lot of additional information about what the show would be. Like, it was just sort of this premise and nothing else. And they ended up raising $5,899 from 305 backers. And nothing happened. Just like this money went somewhere. Like, I genuinely don't know what happened to it. I'm not quite sure that that's something that has been like actually like verified. Like, I think they eventually, like years after the fact, because of course, like, they raised the money, people were excited about this web series, nothing happened, years went by, and then, you know, eventually the person who started it, or one of the people who started it, was like, I was really young, I didn't know what I was doing, I'm gonna give everybody their money back. But I don't know that ended up like happening.
Ooh.
Because apparently the money got transferred to another person on the project, and that person ended up like spending it. So, you know, just a very it was sort of mm-hmm. interesting diving back into this, because like I said, like I do remember this at the time, but thinking about Goncharov, right, and thinking about the number of like things that people made for the pure love of Goncharov and putting all of this work in to sort of create something altogether and something really beautiful coming out of that, and this sort of being like an early version of that that was much more linear, which was like, so we have an idea as Tumblr users, and we're going to execute yeah. it in the way that ideas get executed right now by people, by artists, independent artists, which is like a web series, rather than being like, let's all just like have fun in this space and play together, you know?
Yeah, and I love the yes and website as just like a phrase because it's so accurate. I also,
feel free to take, Tumblr can have that.
Oh, I wrote it down. I love Perfect. It so much. I will be Perfect. Crediting you, of course. And I also, this is so fun. This happened to me in college.
Wait, like, what do you mean?
Someone I went to college with wrote, you know, a script for a short film or like a, you know, maybe like a little longer than a short film. Like set up a crowdfund for it. I was cast in it. We recorded it. Like we filmed a bit of it on campus. I put, I think $100 in, like there was like thousands of money, Jeez. Okay. Clearly on reboot right now. Thousands of money, thousands of dollars were in this crowdfund, and just nothing. Film was never made. Nothing ever happened. No one ever got their money back. We never heard about it again. This friend never mentioned it again. Have not seen this friend in many years as well, unrelated to that crowdfund story. But also, yeah, I mean, interesting. It was right around that time, too.
That is interesting.
And that friend was definitely on the platform.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were at all sort of inspired by seeing.
But, yeah. Like, not like inspired to like do the crowdfund to make their film. Not like, I'm sure right. they didn't intend to never finish, but like, I think you're totally right. They were, yeah, for sure. Like, but they may have been, because that was just around, I think this was like starting up, like just starting to be a thing people did.
Yeah. And it's something that happened in sort of multiple different projects. And I think yeah. like, for the most part, I really do think that like with DashCon, right? Like, the attempt was not to scam people out of their money. Like,
no,
I do think that, like, there was a real effort here to, like, put together a web series about, like, you know, these two queer roommates and, like, the wacky adventures that they had by, like, very enthusiastic teens who wanted to see representation in their media and just were, like, going about it in, like, a very kind of, like, you know, ham-fisted, like, inexperienced way.
Totally. Right? Yeah. I can for sure see that happening. You know, you get the $5,000 and it, like, you try to make it work. You get it started. It never actually happens. You don't know what to do. You think, you keep thinking you're going to eventually, you know, make it or do it.
Well, and like, I think that, like, you know, All or Nothing is sort of one of the most infamous, but I put in a couple of others here, including some honorable mentions. And one of the honorable mentions that I actually don't see talked about quite as much, but was another kind of failed crowdfund thing, is A Finger Slip, which I don't think got as much attention sort of in Tumblr widely, because I actually think like it was more like competently put together, but which I was very aware of because I was deep in the fandom for a particular BBC television show that was an update of some Arthur Conan Doyle stories.
I wonder
what that could be. We talked about the major conspiracy surrounding that particular show, the John Locke conspiracy, in our second episode.
Yeah.
But that show had a lot of really, really great fanfic. It's actually the show that got me back into reading fanfic. Like, I started reading fanfic in high school and then kind of fell off in late high school, early college. And then when this show started coming out in 2010, I was a big shipper and was reading a lot of fanfic. And there was this one fanfic called A Finger Slip that was like incredibly popular, sort of this like modern teenager AU of this show. And it got so popular that somebody decided to make a web series of it. And they were like working with a fanfic author and stuff, and they pulled together all of the money, and they actually filmed it, and it just has yet to come out, because ultimately it was like one 19-year-old trying to do this whole thing.
Yeah.
And just like, they haven't finished editing it. And I think after a certain point, it was sort of like, it's been too long now. Like, I'm just going to sort of let this lie. So I think, like, again, that was like a very, very good faith effort thing, and it just didn't happen, because it's like, it's, these things look like they're easier to execute, you know, than they actually are. Like, 100%. A web series seems like it'd be easy to put together, but it's really not. But this particular web series raised, I just looked it up, $17,000.
Jesus.
Well, and to be fair, I do think that actually, people did get paid, right? Like, the actors got paid. They filmed the thing. Like, they bought equipment. You know, the thing, the money got
absolutely.
Used.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean,
didn't get finished.
It is such a, I totally understand, you know, you're when you're like a teenager and you see other people doing this and you think, how hard can it be? You know, I briefly tried to be a YouTuber. And by briefly, I mean,
I mean, same.
One video. I think we've talked about this.
Yes,
have I said the video about applying to colleges where I say, is anyone else applying to college is one of the questions in my vlog, just in case anyone in the entire world also perhaps
is also maybe applying to colleges.
Considering it. Yeah. So yeah. And it like, I mean, editing all that, I totally understand. Like, I feel like these were all absolutely good faith efforts, or like the ones we've been talking about to make this happen. And then you realize how challenging it is. I'm sure like you get this as well, even in your day-to-day work. I definitely like where people just think, oh yeah, like it's easy, it's quick. Like, how long could it take? And you're like, there's a lot that goes into even like something that is quick and easy and simple and short, you know?
Exactly. This is the story of my career, actually.
Yep.
Like, I was listening to Welcome to Night Vale and I had an idea and I was like, how hard can it be to put together a podcast? I was like, I know it'd be very hard to put together a podcast that sounds and is as good as Welcome to Night Vale, but like, audio seems simpler than a web series. Because I was in a web series at the time, and I was like, web series are very complicated, way more complicated than they appear to be. So maybe I'll make a podcast. And you know, I did pick a simpler idea that actually was a lot easier to execute than, you know, than a lot of other ideas. And it ended up working out in the end. But it was a ton of work, right?
Yeah.
And even now I sort of have ideas for projects. I mean, the podcast I have right now, Breaker Whiskey, that I'm doing is a daily podcast. And I was sort of like, how hard can this be to do?
just a few minutes.
Just every day.
Okay, Lauren, I have a pitch for you. Please. Why don't we make a web series about making web series and call it How Hard Can It Be?
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. Tumblr, give us some money for this. How hard can it be? I do think that All or Nothing was a pretty successful one in terms of like the money that it raised. Fingerslip was incredibly successful. The other one that got a decent amount of money and had sort of, its moment in the sun was Miss Officer and Mr. Truffles. Are you aware of this at all? Are you familiar with this?
I am not. And I'm like, what side of Tumblr was I on? Because I was spending during these years ridiculous amounts of time on Tumblr, thousands in between 2012 and 2014. I reblogged over 30,000 things.
Jesus Christ!
All of this.
I mean, you were on the aesthetic side of Tumblr.
I was.
Right?
Like, you were.
And I think that that's. I do think that that's like a very different side. Like, by this point, I mean, we've talked about this before. We both started on the aesthetic side of Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I just got into the fandom side of Tumblr like faster, and then like once you were in there, it was like you were in it. But I think if you weren't in the fandom side of Tumblr, like this stuff was just sort of like happening in some other website, basically.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually like the my new favorite metaphor that I've just been building on, because love a metaphor, is like if Tumblr, like, okay, Tumblr the website, if that's like a digital world, your dashboard is your, like, is your city.
Yes.
And your, like, blog is your house.
I love that. Yes.
And so I was just like a city over, you know.
Exactly.
With all, like, the inspirational quotes on, like, scenic backgrounds and, you know, gifts of, like, coffee steam rising.
And there probably was, like, one major highway that went through these two cities, right?
100%.
Like, in terms of overlap. Yeah. But, like, you just hadn't gotten on that highway yet.
Wasn't quite. I was still on Main Street, or, like, maybe a couple streets over, you know. I hadn't ventured out of the town yet. And then, boy, I joined Tumblr and just got on a flight and, you know, went to a whole other side of the, like platforms universe.
Yeah. Well, and I do think that, like, to carry on this metaphor, which is a great metaphor, like, eventually the fandom side of Tumblr just, like, the urban sprawl of it got so big, right?
Oh,
where it starts to, like, go into other cities. And now it's, like, I think quite hard to be in any of the other cities on Tumblr and not, like, see, like, a random, you know, thing from, like, the Tumbleropolis or whatever, the, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's some melting pot. There's some big,
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Yes.
Oh man. Well, so I don't think you would have seen these things because they were very much in the fandom side. This particular one, Miss Officer and Mr. Truffles, came from a real news story about that had a photo of a short-haired female officer taking a picture of a little bear cub that was standing up, sort of like this is somewhere in Canada, I believe. And people just like, again, it was the same thing. Someone posted it and was like, and then somebody made fan art of them. And then somebody was like, this would be an awesome animated series. And the inverse of All or Nothing, where All or Nothing was like, we're going to make an entire web series on $600. The Kickstarter for Ms. Officer and Mr. Truffles was $80,000 to make one animated pitch to TV networks. They did not meet their goal. They raised $6,000, but it's Kickstarter, so I don't believe that they ended up actually getting the money.
Yeah, because they didn't hit the goal. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, I think like another, you know, good faith effort of people wanting to see something that they were experiencing and all sharing together on Tumblr like actually come to life in a really significant way.
Yeah, definitely. I would have loved to see that. I still want to see that. This is all timeless. It can all still happen.
I mean, like, that's the thing. I think that there's, like, a couple of interesting things, and I'm curious to hear your observations, too. Like, there's a couple of things in here that I think are really indicative of both, like, Tumblr and also the particular youthful side of fandom that's on Tumblr, and I think this particular period of time on Tumblr, which is that, like, there is this very, like, yes-and nature, which I think definitely still exists on Tumblr, right? We've seen that in major, major ways in recent years. But there's a yes-and sort of just that's a little bit more surface level than I think what we see now. Like, with Goncharov, like, Goncharov got, like, fucking deep, right? Like, people went in on Goncharov. Whereas I think a lot of these projects, like, there was another honorable mention was the ARK project, which was a pitch for an RPG, a video game that was going to have a lot of great queer representation and representation of people of color. And the art for it was actually, like, really beautiful. But, like, that's all that the pitch was, right? Yeah. And it was like, wait, it's a video game RPG. Like, what is the story? What is the gameplay? Like, representation isn't actually, like, an idea. And I think that that's what I mean by surface level, right? Like, a lot of these things, I think Miss Officer and Mr. Truffles was more of just, like, this would be cute, right? But I think that All or Nothing, I think even, like, A Finger Slip to an extent was sort of, like, we want to see queer stories. We want to see stories that center people of color. And mainstream media isn't doing that. All completely legitimate. All true. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do it. But we're doing it for that reason, and so there's not necessarily actually much there when it comes to, like, the story or the idea versus, like, Goncharov was sort of just a vibe that then got filled out into, like, a larger idea and plot and characters. I don't know. Is this making sense as, like, a thought?
No, it absolutely is, and I couldn't agree with you more, and I think, like, these are great ideas. They feel like they're writing prompts, essentially.
Yes,
Each one could have seen posted on, like, a writing prompt Tumblr, and you could have seen a million different stories written with these, like, 1-2-line prompts or, like, log lines. And so, yeah, I think it's, like, they're all great ideas, and I think it just speaks to, you know, like, the, you know, kind of, these are a lot of these are people's first go at something like this. Their first try, they see this, they come up with this idea, and, like, it hits, and they're like, okay, well, why not? Let's do it, you know? And so I totally understand it, you know, not working out as anticipated, especially with how labor intensive this kind of stuff is, the creative side, especially, like, writing.
Yes.
Like, right, coming up with copy with a couple lines or, like, a little concept sort of, but a whole storyline, and then building out each character so each character is, like, fully formed. Like, it is a process, and I think, I wouldn't have even thought about that, you know, 10, 15 years ago if you said, write a TV show, like, take me through, like, what are, like, the 5 steps that you would need to do to write a TV show? I'd be like, come up with an idea and, like, write a script, you know, like, I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Like, come up with an idea, figure out the characters, write the script, but it's like, yeah, okay.
But all of those things have a lot of smaller steps in them. Well, and to your point, I think you're absolutely right. Like, one of the backer rewards for the $100 tier for the All or Nothing Indiegogo was to write a script. And it's like, That's not how you actually, like, build a writing staff, right? You can't have somebody pay $100 to get to write an episode. Like, that's not...
Each episode is so dramatically different. No cohesive storyline. The characters are completely different episode to episode.
And again, I think the spirit of that is, like, very pure and sweet, which is that, like, this idea belongs to all of us, right? And so it's like, if you want to give significantly to the Indiegogo, then it becomes a chance for you to really contribute to the story because we're all crowdsourcing the story together.
Yeah.
And again, like, I think that that's, like, an interesting concept. And I keep mentioning Gontroff, but I do think that, like, Gontroff is sort of the proof of, like, this actually can work. Like, you can crowdsource an idea, but the point has to be the crowdsourcing, right? The point can't
exactly
be the story necessarily, or the representation, or its eventual success, or whatever else it is. And the other thing that I was thinking of is this post. I wish I had liked it. I may have it somewhere. So if I reblog it all, or if I find it, I'll be sure to reblog it to our Tumblr. But I saw this post the other day that I think, like, actually really identified something that we've talked about before on this podcast, and just, like, as people too, that I think ties into this. So it's like, all these young people in the mid-20 teens, like, really wanted to see representation on screen, which is totally legitimate and, like, needed to happen and still needs to happen. And eventually, sort of, like, you know, the actual studios kind of understood that this was true and started to put in more representation into things. But I saw this post the other day that was like, we've gone from queer baiting to story baiting, where now a show is advertised as having a lot of great representation, and then I watch it and there's no story or characters. It's like, I think that that's true a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
You know, we've talked before about, like, you know, frustration. Like, I have a lot of frustration around, like, queer romances and a lot of things, because it's like, oh, look, they get together and they're happy and isn't that great? And it's like, yes, that's great, but I want the same kind of romances that I have for my straight ships, where it's like,
yeah,
there's angst and there's, like, tragedy and there's, you know, like, real conflict, rather than just like, oh, look, here's a happy queer couple. And it's like, we need all of it, you know?
Tell the same, you're like, the goal is to tell the same, like, same stories, like, same variety of stories. It just, like, it had, like, these characters happen to also be queer, or happen to also be, you know, like people of color. Like, it's just like, we're telling stories. We are not telling, like, oh, like, here, let's, like, ever so often it's like, yeah, this is, like, you know, a story that is queer centered and queer focused, of course. But yeah, it's just like, queer representation means, like, you know, you want, like, you know, the antagonist in, you know, like, a Marvel movie to be queer. And it's just, they're the antagonist and they just are also queer, you know?
Exactly.
And it's not some whole, like, what's the word?
Hullabaloo?
It's not some whole hullabaloo, you know?
Exactly. And, like, and I think importantly, like, they have a storyline and a character arc that is separate from their identity, right?
Yes.
Like, exactly. We do need the stories that are about queer identity, that are about the identity of people of color and their experience and all of that kind of stuff, about disabled identities, you know, whatever it is. We need those stories. But we also just need stuff where it's like, the point, I do think that, like, a lot of these, you know, crowdsourced ideas back in 2014 and a lot of, like, representation now in television is like, look, isn't it cool that we have these diverse people? And it's like,
yeah,
but, like, they're not fully fleshed out characters. Like, why do I care about them?
And so
I love that post of, like, we're being story baited now. You know, we expect to have a story and instead we just get blank representation.
I could not agree with you more. It's so frustrating to kind of, like, you see these things, or, like, the way that characters are approached, where their, like, identity, whatever it is, or, like, who they are, is the centered thing, where it's like, if this was, you know, someone who has traditionally been represented in media, like a straight white man, like, let's say, like, straight, you know, white men and straight white women have gotten any variety of stories told about them, protagonist, antagonist, super, like, what have you, and, like, separate from, you know, their race or their gender or their, you know, or, you know, identity in any way. And I think, yeah, like, it's, when you think of, yeah, disabled representation, so many titles, like, are focused on this person, mm-hmm. you know, this person's struggle or story as it pertains to, you know, their disability. Or is that the correct word to use, like disability? Is there, I want to make sure that I'm just using like the right vernacular
That's been my understanding of it, that like, I feel like most sort of like disability advocates and folks that I've read, like they prefer that.
Yeah. Versus
over like differently abled or like
kind of erasure of. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make
sure. That's my understanding. I could completely be wrong. I could totally be wrong and happy to be corrected on it.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I was saying the right. But yeah, I was watching a show this week, and this is actually about like just a woman's storyline, but I think it's kind of like, I had a very strong reaction to what they did to her in the story. And I think it pertains really well to this. Essentially, like, you know, it's a new show that's out, and like the main character is, she's like, it's like takes place in the 50s. She's very like, she's a chemist, and you know, no one respects her, and she, you know, also like ends up having a cooking show, is like the plot of this show.
Yes.
I think you may know what I'm talking about. Have you been watching it?
I watched the first episode.
Okay, so I watched the first two episodes. Do you plan to watch any more of it? Because I don't want
to
spoil anything
for you. No, feel free to spoil. Yeah.
Okay, and also spoilers for this show, which if you're watching, you probably know what we're talking about.
Yes.
And so like the plot of this, obviously, like she's dealing with a lot of challenges and not respected because she is a woman, right? She's like, and you know, there's a huge, not only is there the struggles that she is dealing with because she's not respected, even though she's the smartest woman in the room, and she's treated, you know, like shit by all the other men. They call her a secretary, even though, you know, she's like has a master's in chemistry, etc. So she's dealing with that. So that, in addition to, yeah, the storyline where she is dealing with the struggles of being a woman in the 50s and, you know, not being respected and sexism. She is also dealing with, and trigger for essay coming up, but she is dealing with, you know, she also has a sexual assault storyline. And on top of that, Lauren, if that's not enough, if she's not already, there's not enough adversity going on in this poor woman's life who is just trying to cook some food and do her chemistry. Like, she falls in love, right? She plans to never get married, but she falls in love with another chemist. And, like, it's perfect. They are, like, the ones for each other. They've decided to be life partners. Like, they're publishing a paper together. Like, everything is, you know, like, looking up, right? 4 or 5 months into their relationship, he is hit by a bus and dies.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, this woman can't catch a break. Can you not, like... Can we not tell a story about, like, a strong, independent, intelligent woman without, like, deeply traumatizing her as well? And I think it's same with, like, you know, Barrier Gaze, where it's like, oh, you get, okay, you get a gay character, but they die first, or a queer character, but they, you know, it's so, I feel like it is, you know, a very common thing. And it's the point where I keep seeing it. I'm like, I thought we talked about this and we're past this. Like, let someone have a complex storyline without, like, I don't know, pulling, like, taking something from them too. Like, yes, she gets to be a badass, independent, like, woman with a talk with like a cooking show, and she's respected now, but also, you know, she's had a life of trauma and pain.
Well, that reminds me so much of, and like, I think that show was based off of a book, right? And
yeah,
like, so
it
that
is.
It reminds me of another book that I think was very controversial for exactly the reasons you're describing, which is A Little Life by Hanya Yaganohara. I don't know if you've read this book.
I have not, no.
It's a book that I really deeply loved the experience of reading, that I sort of cried over for like several hours after I finished reading, and that I could not recommend to anybody. It's like, I without going too far into sort of like describing the plot of A Little Life, it was very and is very divisive among people. Like, I have people who, I have friends who've read it and they hated it. I have friends who read it and it's their favorite book. I sit somewhere in between. And it was sort of a similar thing where, like, the main character, it's sort of about four guys, but sort of the central character, Jude, and spoilers for A Little Life, I'm not going to go too far into it. He, like, there are queer characters in it. And I actually think that, like, the representation of queerness in a lot of ways is really great, and that characters are really allowed to be very complex within that. But like, the main character, just, it's like trauma after trauma after trauma after trauma after trauma, and it just, like, it feels like trauma porn, right? Like,
exactly.
that was like the accusation that a lot of people threw at it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that, like, a lot of people really get so much out of, and a lot of people, It's really cathartic. It really resonates with them. Like I said, like, I actually really enjoyed the experience of reading the book. It was very, very powerful and very beautifully written, even though I have, like, complicated feelings about sort of the storyline now. But I think the problem is that so often with, like, female characters and with queer characters, that's, like, the entirety of our stories, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just that. And it's like, no, we also need, like, other things as well to sort of, like, layer in amongst all of the trauma stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, yeah, so, like, just like, there are traumatic stories, there are funny stories, there are romantic stories, like, you know, and I just think, like, why it does feel like still characters are being slotted in to kind of fit a quota when it's like, no, just write a, you know, cast of characters who are a variety of people with a variety of different, you know, qualities and backgrounds. Like, it's not, it, like, you don't need to, like, you write your, what, you have your list of characters and then you're like, oh gosh, and this one's gay. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
like, and then it's like, or like, is it, you know, I don't know. It just, I feel like we are like a few steps past the like show about like, you know, like the show that's like kind of a caricature of, you know, queerness or whatever it may be. But we're not quite, you know, like it feels like we've stepped out, but it just like, it's like, okay, it's like a little better and there's more media to consume.
Yeah.
And ever so often you get like a beautiful story, like Heartstopper or something that is just like,
yeah,
like it's just a beautiful, just, sweet love story, you know? Yeah. And, but that is also, it's written by a queer person. So,
right,
you know, that, which again, like, hey, you want queer characters that are well-written, hire queer writers. You want disabled characters that are well-written, hire disabled writers. Like, you know, exactly. Like, you know, the list goes on. And so, yeah, I think it's that. And it's, if we just have a wider variety of people in that writing room, these stories aren't going to feel forced because they'll, you know, because they'll be coming from like a lived experience instead of someone trying to assume what someone may be going through, or like kind of a like very stereotype or cookie cutter kind of thing.
I think Heartstopper is a great example, a wonderful graphic novel series that also got turned into a TV show. So we have, for these purposes, we're talking about the graphic novel series. Yeah. But like each of those characters, and it's a cast of tons of queer characters, like they have really complex relationships and problems outside of their identity. And their identity certainly, like, you know, like they experience conflict and experience, or not conflict, but challenges because they're queer in various ways. But like, that's not sort of the central part of their conflict. And like, there's so much about like friendship in there that's really lovely and that's complex, and family and just school pressure and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's just like a story about a group of teens, many of whom are queer, you know?
Yes.
And I just think that's, there's really like special and beautiful. I often say, you know, like, or like, think like, I'm so glad that, you know, teens now and like young adults get Heartstopper, like as they're, you know, coming into their identity. It's definitely something I wish I'd had when I was a teenager.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, this has me in my feels. So I feel like we should, you know, move into our feels corner where we talk about what's giving us feels. Cher, what has you in your feels corner right now?
What has me in my feels corner right now? I mean, other than this conversation, which I think like I now want to go read / other thing. Heartstopper. loved the most recent iteration. What has me in my feels? I'm trying to the new Beatles song, Now and Then.
Oh
yeah.
I still haven't listened to it. What are your feelings about it?
I mean it honestly, for the fact that it is like the last new Beatles song, is kind of the way, like, it feels so perfect that this is that song. I don't know. I, like, can't believe it almost. Yeah, it's, like, it's a really beautiful song. I really liked it. And there's, like, a cute little mini doc as well on YouTube, like, about it. And, yeah, so I think that has me in my feels. That had me, like, feeling, real, real emotional. And it was really beautiful to listen to. I've been listening to it quite a bit. So, yeah.
Oh,
what about
that's
you?
That's so nice. I, unsurprisingly, am in my feels about video games. Since we last chatted, I have played through all of Spider-Man 2, which was a masterpiece. It's so, so good. I have so many feelings about Peter Parker. But kind of pertinent to this conversation, I am playing Assassin's Creed Mirage right now. And the Assassin's Creed games are super interesting for a bunch of reasons. And this one takes place in Baghdad, and it's like a much sort of smaller, more like insular story, because it's like, I think one of the first times that they've had like actually like a repeating character, like the main character Bassem is from Valhalla, and this is kind of his like origin story. And one of the things I love about the Assassin's Creed games is how they like introduce you to these cultures that maybe are different from your own. And like, there's so much great history in this game. Mm-hmm. So it just like has me and my feels about sort of video games being like both fun stories and also like portals to these other times and places, and like, oh, good, cool way to like learn stuff.
Okay. So funny you say that. And also I agree with you and need to play more video games. Still not through the prologue of The Last of Us. After I overnighted a PS4 to myself because I had to play it. But I saw, like, I think it, like, a Heritage Tumblr post the other day about how someone was in, I think it was Florence with their family, and they couldn't find, and, like, their tour group was lost, and they, like, led their, okay, you know what? Nope, this is, I am now realizing this is an Ask Reddit thread that my brain melded into a Tumblr post, but it's probably a Tumblr post too.
Amazing. Similar.
I saw an Ask Reddit thread that was like, have you ever, like, been able to find your way around somewhere that you've never been because of a video game? And there were so many responses. I think one that the one about Florence was about Assassin's Creed, being like, I knew.
I'm sure.
Like, I, like, yeah, you know, got our group to where we needed to go because I'd seen, you know, like, played through the game so much. So I think that's so funny. And my question for you is, have you ever had an experience like that?
So, yeah, that is really funny. Two small ones, I guess, because, like, I've played the Assassin's Creed games I've played are Mirage, Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla. Mirage, Origins, and Odyssey all take place, like, so long ago
that they wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, that, like, it, yeah, like, I've been to Greece, but you know, I've been to Mykonos, but, like, Mykonos in, like, 500 BC is very different than Mykonos
there's
now,
like, a couple,
right?
More buildings covered,
yeah exactly. But Valhalla takes place in England, and there's, like, a lot of, like, English countryside in it, obviously, even though it's, like, 800. There are some places in Valhalla where I'm like, I've been to that particular ruin before, you know. And then when I went to New Orleans, like, when I was sort of walked downtown in New Orleans, I was like, oh my God, I'm in Saint-Denis from Red Dead Redemption 2. Because they based Saint-Denis off of New Orleans. And I'd played that game so much by that point, but I'd never been to New Orleans before that I was like, I'm inside the
video
game.
Oh my gosh. I love that. It makes me want to play video games more, just to, like, I should, like, find a video game that takes place in the next city you're visiting and play through it. And then...
Also, I'm so stupid. The main one is Spider-Man, the Spider-Man franchise. Like, as I was playing through Spider-Man 2, my partner, who used to live in New York and I'm from New York, was like, oh, can you find my old office? And, you know, we went looking for his old apartment in Queens, because Queens
is now
a part of the game. And we his street wasn't there. But because, like, it's a much, like, more truncated version. And, like, I went to go and try find, like, my dad's office in Lower Manhattan. And, like, you know, sometimes you can find things that are, like, pretty similar. But obviously it's, like, Marvel's New York, so it's a little bit different. But
oh, my God. That's great. So what did you find? Did you find, like, something similar to your dad's office?
I mean, I found buildings very similar, but if you go on, like, Reddit and stuff, you can find people, you know, like, who find really specific weird things in the Marvel New York. It's just, like, it's really lovingly rendered and really detailed.
Oh, I love that.
Just fantastic.
Oh, that's so cool. New York is the best. I mean, there are many. Other things are also the best. I don't want to immediately backtrack.
Yeah, I mean, so you should play Spider-Man, because A, it's, like, not a scary video game, and B, it's your, you know, your home city.
I will.
Or your
current
city.
Swing around the city. Yeah, that sounds, honestly, that sounds great.
Exactly.
I do need to use my PS4. I sit there and I stare at it, and I'm like, come on, you bought this thing. Play your games. Other than Sims, I do love Sims.
I mean, Sims
is so
great.
Never gets old.
And with that, I'm Lauren Chippin, and you can find me at thelaurenchippin.tumblr.com.
And I'm Cher McAnally, and you can find me at overshares.tumblr.com. This has been Dashboard Diaries, and
may your anons always be loving,
your dash always refreshed,
your gifts always be loading,
and your ships always canon.
May the fix you're reading always be finished,
and the answers you seek always in the reblogs.
Thanks for scrolling with us.